Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now it's time for WEEI at Night on Sports Radio WEEI.
Tonight's win.
How do I describe it? Happy we won. Happy to get to 6-0. So yeah, we just grinded it out pretty good. Got kind of forced into one group in there in the second half. I don't think that's ever happened in 20 years. But defense played great. Special teams played great. Outside of a few plays, you know, that would have been pretty good. So we're hanging in there.
All right, that's Tom Brady after the game of the other night. I'll say this. The Prince of Positivity, Tom Brady, he sounds pumped up. He sounds pumped up after that 6-0 start to the season. He really seems that he's very, very, very high on his team right now. Very excited about where this team's at this particular point. Brady really, really pumped up. The number is 617-779-7937 if you want to hop on board. If you want to weigh in on this Antonio Brown situation, do you think he should be back with the Patriots? Certainly welcome to do so. And if not, who do you want to see them go after in terms of these wide receiving targets that could be on the trading block, so to speak? The other thing I'd say about Brady, and we played you the cut earlier where he was asked about the offense and he paused and he was asked, is this offense good enough? And he said, we'll see. Just answer that question politically, like you've done for the last 20 years of your career. Just go up there and say, hey, we're working on some things. We saw some progress, et cetera, et cetera. Don't give that type of answer because a lot of what's been going on over the past couple of days is fans in this town are upset saying that the media has been overly negative about the team. Well, listen to your quarterback when he goes up to the podium. This is three consecutive weeks where he's alluded to the fact, essentially, that the team's not good enough at this particular point in time. And the quarterback, that's not good leadership from Tom Brady. He is whining. He is pouting ever since Antonio Brown has not been a member of this team. That's the reality of the situation. The quarterback has been whiny and he's been pouty for about a month. For about a month, he's been acting like this every time he goes up to the podium. And oh, by the way, now look, I'm not taking anything away from Brady. I don't think there's anything wrong with him physically, or I don't think he's breaking down. I don't think this is a Max Kellerman Cliff scenario or anything along those lines. But the one thing that I would say as it pertains to Brady, let's not dismiss the fact that he has thrown three absolutely atrocious interceptions over the past 3 weeks. The one where he's looking to Edelman, no excuse on that one. He threw one in the end zone against the Buffalo Bills, horrible, no excuse for that. And the one against the Washington Redskins where it was essentially the Eli Manning pick. He's fallen back because he doesn't want to take a hit, just throws it up in the air. He's looking for James White on a wheel route and he throws it short. So in two of those scenarios, he took points off the board. In the Washington Redskins game and, of course, the game against the Bills, both those times they're in field goal range. So Brady has not been typical Tom Brady this year either. And I understand I'm sympathetic to the fact that he doesn't have the personnel around him right now. And clearly he needs an upgrade at the receiver position. But the other thing that I would say is this. The quarterback has not been at his best either. And I wonder if some of that attention is going into all the negativity that the Prince of Positivity is displaying over the past couple of weeks. All right, another thing I want to get to is, obviously, this team, I've made it abundantly clear, we all know that they need an upgrade at the receiver position. And we all know that Bill Belichick believes that because Bill Belichick, before they got Antonio Brown, in the offseason, he's going after all these guys, the Golden Tates, the Adam Humphreys, the Cole Beasleys of the world, right? So we know last year, before the season began, or this offseason, I should say, he's looking to upgrade the receiver position. So even back then, Bill Belichick was telling you he needed to upgrade. He drafted a receiver in the first round, meaning he was desperate because he's never drafted one in the first round in the history of his career. And all of a sudden, N'Keal Harry's the one guy that he thinks is worthy of a first round pick. No, for the first time like ever, Bill Belichick was drafting purely out of need. They needed another body at the receiver position, so they draft a guy like N'Keal Harry, and they needed him coming into the season to play a pivotal role. Now, at this particular point, when he comes back, they still need him to do that. But the point being that by what Bill Belichick's been doing, going back to the summer and now over the past couple of weeks where we're getting the reports that they're surfacing the wide receiver market, if you will, they are going to go out there and they're going to pick up another player. Now, the guy that I would go after is simply A.J. Green. Now, Stephon Diggs, I would be on board with that as well, but that's going to be more difficult because he signed up for the next 5 years. A.J. Green is a free agent at the end of the season. And some of the pushback you're hearing, some of the anti-AJ Green crowd, if you will, I can't believe we have that already. But nonetheless, the anti-AJ Green crowd is saying, well, you want to give up a first-round pick for AJ Green for just a rental? Yeah, I do. Yeah, I don't care about a first-round draft pick. First-round draft picks, especially where the Patriots draft, okay, they're not going to have the number one, the number two, the number three, the number four, the number five pick. They're going to be drafting somewhere between 28 and 32 like they draft every single damn year. So let me run through some of the first-round picks they've had recently. Isaiah Wynn, jury's still out. He's played a game and a half in his NFL career. Sony Michel, had a nice postseason last year, but first-round pick, it's not like he's elevating the team this year, but okay. Nonetheless, even if you say that was worth it. 2015, Malcolm Brown, was that worth it? Sorry. 2014, Dominique Easley, not worth it. 2012, hit it out of the park, Chandler Jones and Dante Hightower. But the point being, one year it could be a good pick, the next year it could be not a good pick. Right now, this offense is desperate, desperate for a big-time game changer at the wide receiver position. So why the hell do I care if the Patriots give up a first-round draft pick so they can't draft a left tackle or center out of Texas A&M next year? I'm sorry, I'm looking at a 42-year-old quarterback right now. 42-year-old quarterback that is desperate for another weapon on the outside. I don't care about next year's first-round draft pick. And if that's going to get me A.J. Green, and like I said, that comes with the caveat that A.J. Green is healthy and that ankle is ready to go, right? It comes with those things involved, right? He's got to be healthy. He's got to be ready to go. All that. I'm not saying you trade for an injured A.J. Green, right? But as long as you get the notion that he's 100%, that he's ready to go, why would I care about giving up a first-round draft pick for A.J. Green? I don't really care if the Patriots don't get a safety out of LSU next year. I'm looking at it right now. This defense is all-world great. This is an historic defense right now, unbelievable defense right now, and the Patriots are on the verge of pulling a Red Sox, which I thought would never happen, because all season long, we said about the Red Sox, you need some bullpen help. They had an all-world offense, the Red Sox did, this year, top three in most statistical categories, and guess what happened? They sucked, their pitching staff was horrible, and they never upgraded the bullpen. If the Patriots don't go out there and upgrade the wide receiver position, they're going to waste an unbelievable defense. That's the reality of the situation. They will waste an unbelievable defense. And I trust that Bill Belichick will make a move, and I trust that Bill Belichick isn't going to care about that first-round draft pick in the future. He's traded away first-round draft picks before. Let me remind you, he traded a first-round draft pick away to pick up a guy like Brandon Cooks. Why did he go after Brandon Cooks? Because he felt like he was another additional piece that would put the Patriots over the top. And you remember back to that year with Brandon Cooks, he was right. Brady had an MVP season. And if you look at some of the advanced metrics, if you will, some of the analytics, it was the best year that Brady had thrown the football down the field. Even better than the season when he had Randy Moss. Think about that. That's how good the Patriots were offensively. Now, at the end, they end up losing that game to the Eagles in the Super Bowl. And Brandon Cooks made that dumb play where he tried to leap the defender, went out of the game with a concussion. But in terms of what the offense was that year, the offense worked. The offense was unbelievable. The biggest storyline after that Super Bowl was the Malcolm Butler thing. Had nothing to do with Tom Brady throwing for 500 yards. So we've seen Bill Belichick give up a first-round pick because he felt like it would be a significant upgrade for him offensively. Well, right now, they're in dire need of a significant upgrade from an offensive perspective at the wide receiver position. A.J. Green is a 7-time Pro Bowler with Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton, that guy is like the definition of the average quarterback. And the other reason, you know why this guy would be the perfect Patriot? Have you ever heard any drama with A.J. Green? There has been nothing with A.J. Green. No drama whatsoever. In fact, he's playing in a place like Cincinnati where it's a cheap ownership group. They're never even close to the salary cap. They barely get to the floor every year. He's never really played for a consistent winner in his NFL career. All he does, he goes out on the field and he handles his business. That's all that A.J. Green does on a week-to-week basis. So if you think about the guy you just had here in Antonio Brown, maybe the most baggage in the NFL right now. So you go from a guy that is a complete diva to a guy no maintenance whatsoever. And I guarantee you this. You know how Tom Brady's turned from the Prince of Positivity to Eeyore over the past couple of weeks? I guarantee you that if they get a guy like A.J. Green, or A.J. Green specifically, Tom Brady is going to turn back into the Prince of Positivity. He will be so fired up if they get him a talent like A.J. Green. This guy can go. He's 6'4". He's an absolute freak show as well. As long as he's healthy, that's the guy that I want Bill Belichick and company to go after. Don't give me this crap about, I don't want to give up a first-round pick. Okay, yeah. Yeah, so you can make sure you get some left tackle out of Wisconsin next year. Great. Keep thinking about the future. In fact, you know who would probably be pissed off about this? This logic that I'm using right now. Danny Ainge would be really mad because Danny Ainge wants to harbor all his future future draft picks until they never hit. That's what Danny Ainge wants to do. But nonetheless, I don't want to get into it with the Celtics right now. I know Gilroy's talking Celtics a little bit earlier. 617-779-7937 is your number. Let's get to Kelly and Chelsea. What's up, Kelly?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, good.
I think we should bring back Brown and Antonio, okay, first of all. And second of all, I want to wish Joe Castiglione a happy retirement. He announced it today. And thank you for the memories, and can you believe it?
All right, Kelly. I did not see that. Is that true? Drew, do we know if that's true?
Efforting that.
Okay, I didn't see
I'll
that.
We'll have to call Joe.
Yeah, I guess we'll have to call him. I didn't see that. All right, 617-779-7937 is the number. Let's get to Sorgia in the car. What's up, Sorgia?
How's it going today?
Good, good.
Yeah, so I like how you just brought out the Red Sox comparison, because if you remember, right before the trade deadline, they made, like, virtually no moves, and they were still, at that point, still in the hunt.
Yeah.
And it was just ridiculous. Second, what would be... Like, do you think we could package maybe a Nikhil? Like, a lot of these teams, they really want a strong package for these receivers. Do you think the Patriots would kind of, given to Brady's kind of need, not wanting to throw to younger receivers, and maybe package a Nikhil Harry into the deal? Do you think that would?
No, I don't. Maybe Sorgia, but I don't think so. I think, like, most of these teams, they think that they're smart, although most of the teams are dumb in the NFL outside of a couple teams. The Patriots, the Colts are pretty smart. But what they think is, all right, we want draft picks so then we can make our own selection. So what the Patriots may actually have to pay more than a team like, say, for example, the Cowboys or the Packers, because the Patriots, the team that's trading with the Patriots is going to know it's going to be somewhere between 28 and 32, right? The Patriots have played in, what, 8 consecutive AFC championship games. So the Patriots may have to sweeten the deal and say, hey, we'll throw a second-round pick in there as well. So they may have to do it that way, but I don't believe it'll be a player involved in the deal.
Yeah, and lastly, I just think, I kind of said before the call that if we don't get someone before this bye week, I don't even think we'll get out of the divisional round because, you know, teams are going to get a lot better and I'm telling you, we need to make some improvements.
Yeah, they definitely do. There's no doubt about that. I mean, Bill Belichick knows they need to go out there and they need to upgrade at the wide receiver position. By the way, I didn't see anything about Joe Castiglione. You guys find anything on that?
We haven't heard anything.
Yeah, I don't think that's true. But nonetheless, let's get to Billy's in Malden. What's up, Bill? Billy?
If they take... Get A.J. Brown for a first-round draft choice, they got to do it.
A.J. Green?
You know, the building of the 2019 season, and that's what Belichick does. I mean, now he's got a defense, and if we can get another guy for the offense, you got to do it. I mean, you got to take a shot at it, no?
Yeah, I'm with you, Bill. I told you. I want them to get A.J. Green. I don't give a crap about these first-round picks. So people keep telling me, oh, yeah, you're going to have to give up a first-round pick. I don't care. Okay, so I'd rather give up a third or a fourth-round pick for a significantly inferior player in Mohamed Sanu as you compare him to a guy like A.J. Green. Okay, great. So you're not going to have as high of a ceiling with Mohamed Sanu offensively. Yeah, but I only gave up a fourth-round pick. Okay, great. You're not going to win a Super Bowl with Mohamed Sanu. You get A.J. Green in here, you're right back in the hunt, and quite frankly, you become the favorite again if you get a guy like A.J. Green. Just like when you went out and you got Antonio Brown, you became the instant favorite. Like, that gave you a leg up on the Kansas City Chiefs, because what we've seen from the Chiefs, from an offensive perspective, we know they have all the weaponry, but the Patriots right now on paper, they have the best defense to match up with the Chiefs. Now, I don't believe anybody's going to slow down the Chiefs for an entire game. I look at that game against the Colts last week, I say that was an outlier. That was an outlier because they didn't have Tyreek Hill. You had a situation in that particular game where you also had Pat Mahomes banged up himself. He was missing two offensive linemen. I don't think you can look at that and say, okay, that's going to happen with the Patriots. Not to mention the fact that the Patriots aren't a great running football team right now, and the Colts in that game ran the ball 45 times. So that's an outlier. So I believe you can hold Pat Mahomes down for a little bit like the Patriots did last year. They held him down for an entire half, but he exploded for 31 points in the second half of that game. We saw it. The guy was absolutely outstanding. So my point on this is with the Patriots, you're going to have to go back at the Chiefs from an offensive perspective. And until you get an upper echelon weapon on the outside to go along with what the Patriots have with Julian Edelman, you're not going to be in that conversation being able to go back and forth with the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, you could say, well, Brian, last year they went to that run-heavy game, and that's how they made their run. I'm totally on board with that if the Patriots actually had the ability to do that. But now they're down two fullbacks. David Andrews is out for the season, as we all know. Ted Karras is not the same player. Marshall Newhouse right now is roaming around at left tackle. That guy is a turnstile. You're hoping to get Isaiah Wynn back. When he comes back, are we even so sure that this guy is going to be like this incredible player? He's only played a game and a half, and everyone's like, hey, don't worry about it. Once you get Isaiah Wynn back, this team's going to be fine. I just don't know if that's true. I can't guarantee that. Can anybody really guarantee that about the left tackle that's played a game and a half in his NFL career? So the plan you had last year against the Chiefs, where you're going to pound it down their throat, right now, this Patriots team, if you watched them through the first 6 weeks of the season, what tells you that this Patriots team can actually win a game like that? Not to mention the fact, and I ask you this, if the Patriots fall down by 14 points in a game right now, do you see them coming back with the way the passing game is right now? I don't see it. Let's get to Dave. He's in Amherst. What's going on, Dave?
Hey, good show. Thanks a lot. I just wanted to say I totally agree. Get A.J. Green and maybe even a tight end. A lot of people are talking about, oh, we should never let go of Brown, but the management, the player personnel, really has a lot of criticism to take here. I mean, supposedly this difficult system, they don't even bring in a tight end to replace Gronk at all. They yep. don't have the weapons. It's ridiculous. So get A.J. Green, go all out. I'm totally in agreement. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, Dave. Yeah, and by the way, when you talk about replacing Gronk, you got guys like Ryan Izzo and Matt LaCosse, who's banged up again. You essentially don't have a tight end position right now. That's the reality of where the Patriots are at right now. They do not have anything going on at the tight end position. Izzo, like, sometimes can make some catches, but geez, I mean, that guy cannot block whatsoever. Let's get to Shane. He's in New Hampshire. What's going on, Shane?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man.
You're pretty much, you're right on the money tonight. You're talking about all the perfect things, like, the tight end situation is bad. The receiving situation is bad. The last caller was kind of talking about the tight end, and I'm kind of leaning towards, this is kind of a fantasy thing, probably won't happen, but you get Brown back, we see what Harry can do, we get a tight end, and now you got a good setup again. But I don't think Brown's coming back.
Yeah, Shane, the only thing to your point there is the only thing in terms of Harry, like, you're not going to see Harry until after the trading deadline. The trading deadline's on the 29th, so we're not going to know what you have with Harry until, like, probably week 12 of the season when he's played a couple of games.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. And the thing about Harry is he looked great in college, and it's kind of funny. I flew with him after the draft from Arizona here. I was coming back from vacation.
Are you serious?
Yeah. He was. It was pretty funny because he was all quiet in the airport. Nobody knew who he was. And I started looking at him. I watched the draft the night before. And I was like, hey, to my girlfriend. And I went up, talked to him. Great guy. And he's like, my whole life's about to change, isn't it? I'm like, yeah, it is.
Oh, that's crazy. Appreciate the phone call, Shane. Wow. How about that? Coming back from Arizona, you see N'Keal Harry on the plane. I remember the day after N'Keal Harry was drafted, Herm Edwards came on the morning show here on WEI. And he said, he catches 99% of contested passes. It's like, well, Herm, that's not true, man. You know there's stats that show this. But nonetheless, hopefully he works out. But again, there is some caution that I would use with a rookie wide receiver with Tom Brady, not to mention the fact that the guy's been hurt. He's been hurt. Now, I understand he's going to be healthy. He's going to be ready to go and all that. But that's a lot of eggs in the basket of a rookie wide receiver to depend. You're actually going to get anything from him. The way that I look at it right now, if you get consistent production out of N'Keal Harry, that's gravy. That's the cherry on top of the sundae. I'm not expecting that whatsoever. That's why I'm saying you got to go get A.J. Green. If I thought that N'Keal Harry was going to come in right away and be like one of the top 15 receivers in the NFL, then I'd be all on board with the N'Keal Harry situation. But right now, you just can't depend on that. Let's get to Angel and Lawrence. What's up, Angel?
Hi. No, I hear what you guys are saying about the line, about the wide receivers, but I think they need more line help because over the past few games, Tom Brady's been sacked 7 times, and they haven't been coverage sacked because they've been people open, but he doesn't have the time to go through his progression.
Yeah, I also think on the other side of that too, Angel, I understand what you're saying, but there's guys also not getting separation. The only guy that gets open quick is Edelman. Nobody else gets open.
But yeah, I understand what you're saying. But
look, Angel, what do you think was a bigger problem the other night? Do you think a bigger problem the other night was the line? And I'm not saying the line's good. The line sucks. But what do you think was a bigger problem, the receivers or the line? Because I saw plenty of times when Tom Brady was holding on to the ball for a while and nobody came open.
Yeah, that was he got hit twice in that situation. But the majority of the time, there was people open, but he couldn't go through his progression.
Yeah, I disagree with you. I believe the wide receiving core is a bigger issue right now than the offensive line. I'm not saying that the offensive line is great by any means. It's not. I mean, it's not very good right now. But I believe the bigger issue right now is with the weaponry that you have on the outside. Let's get to Bill in Exeter. What's up, Bill?
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
I think to all the people that I've heard, you know, saying that they didn't want a first-round pick to go for A.J. Green, I just think it's, you know, important to remember that back when this guy was healthy, you know, back in his first couple of seasons in Cincy, he was thought of, you know, as he was in the same draft class as Julio Jones, and they were thought of as, you know,
he was drafted before him.
Players. Yeah, I mean, people thought that those two, was a real conversation about which one of those two was better at that point. So this guy's, you know, still a big time player.
Right, and Bill, he's putting up all these numbers. I mean, the guy's got a Hall of Fame resume, rather, and he's playing with freaking Andy Dalton.
Yeah, I think you put this guy with a real big-time quarterback, and you haven't even scratched the surface of what he can be.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. Appreciate the call, Bill. That's the guy I'd be going after. AJ Green, by the way, no issues with this guy. Unlike the dude you just picked up that you had to get rid of, or at least the owner dictated the fact that you had to get rid of the guy, he decided to get rid of him. No issues with AJ Green off the field. Never hear a peep out of that guy. Never complains about anything. He's playing with a red rifle his whole career. That guy sucks. And we haven't heard A.J. Green complain once. All right, a lot more to get into. The number 617-779-7937 if you want to hop on board here. Plus, Gronk made his television debut last week, Thursday Night Football. I'll get into that as well. And do you really think there's a chance that Gronk could come back? We'll get into all that. I'll get you trending in just a second here on WEI.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's WEEI at night. This is Sports Radio WEEI.
Question for you. You're done everything. You're with us now, which is a family, which means you can't leave. Does that mean football's out now? You're never going back? Because I know you didn't sign that closure contract with
them. It wasn't even good. You look good, too.
Thank you. Yeah. Feeling
you're
good.
You're through playing.
Yes, feeling good. You know, I've answered this question many times
not
before.
Not for me.
But not for you. I like that. The original TB right here.
That's right.
You know, I would have to be feeling it, you know, feeling it big time to come back. I mean, it's always going to be open in my mind. I love the game of football, you know. I love playing the game. I love being around the game. I even love watching the game of football now. It makes just appreciation to watch it, just seeing the hits, seeing the glory of it. You understand the game so much more and why fans love the game so much more.
So tell me that.
So, you know, I'll always keep it open. I'll always keep it open. I'll always keep the door open.
All right, so that was Rob Gronkowski on Thursday. He made his debut on Fox. I cannot defend that, like, interview thing he did at the beginning of the broadcast where basically they did, like, this fake interview. He was interviewing for the job. It was terrible, and by now you've all seen it. But in terms of his actual on-air work, I didn't think it was as bad as everybody made it out to be. Everybody was ripping him on this station on Friday. I didn't really think it was that bad. It felt like he was cutting a wrestling promo. Maybe that's what he's trying to do because Fox has SmackDown on Friday nights. But overall, I didn't think he was as bad as everybody made it out to be. Now, in terms of Fox, they really missed the boat on what they could have asked him. Okay, so you're watching a game. The Patriots' offense is absolutely atrocious. They were horrible in the first half of that football game. The tight end sucked. Hey, the guy that just played for the team, like, I don't know, less than 8 months ago. Hey, what's wrong with the Patriots' offense? Ask Gronk that instead of they're talking about the Rams-Niners game coming up on Sunday. Like, you really missed an opportunity if you were Fox. 617-779-7937 is the number. But away from Gronk, the broadcaster, and getting back to what he said is, I'm open. I'm always keeping it open. Robert Kraft, before the game, told Colleen Wolfe and Willie McGinnis that he hadn't filed his retirement papers and that at some point they could have him come back. He said that's a good academic argument for him coming back. Now, to the Gronk point on all this, Gronk saying that he's open to returning, it's really starting to irritate me. And it's starting to piss me off. And I'm wondering why more people in this fan base aren't getting aggravated with Gronk continually teasing the fan base. He's done this like four or five times this offseason. At the ESPYs, had a couple of drinks, it would appear. He told Drew Brees, I'm coming back, right? He had his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, not that he told him to do this, but the day after he retired, Drew Rosenhaus is on ESPN's Get Up, and he's essentially saying, hey, if Tom Brady called him, maybe he would come back. So he's hinted at this multiple different times throughout, really, the period since he retired. And a couple other elements to this. The first one is him saying this the other night. As a Patriots fan, watching that game and seeing the tight end position, that pissed me off more than anything. It's like, well, Gronk, if you're thinking about coming back, they need you now, man. They need you now. And if you're just going to stay retired, fine. But it feels like, from my perspective, Gronk is dangling this carrot of possibly returning to build up the Rob Gronkowski brand. Because he knows that as a celebrity, so to speak, he remains more relevant if that's out there, that there's a possibility that he could return to the Patriots. That keeps him more relevant than he otherwise would have been. So that works in his favor. So to build up his media personality, to build up the Gronk brand, he's using this, he's dangling this carrot, and he's teasing the fan base that he could possibly come back. So watching the game the other night, especially with the lack of production you're getting from the tight end position, that just irritated me. And I go back to another thing that aggravated me about Gronk this offseason. It took him forever to decide that he wanted to ultimately retire. Right? What was it? March 22nd, right? It took forever for him to decide. And the Patriots were trying to get a guy like Jared Cook to replace Gronk if Gronk was going to leave, because Jared Cook, he's now in New Orleans, very talented player, right? Guy that averaged north of 50 yards per game last season in terms of receiving at the tight end position. Here's what Mike Reese reported at the time. A source close to tight end Jared Cook said the Patriots aggressively courted him before Cook elected to sign with the Saints late last week. This is back at the time he signed. Rob Gronkowski's uncertain status seems to have played a significant part in Cook's thinking, as there is a clearer path to a top role on the tight end depth chart in New Orleans. So think about that. Because Gronk took so long to decide he was going to retire, that hurt them in recruiting Jared Cook, because Jared Cook knew, all right, Ben Watson's no longer with the New Orleans Saints. I can go to the Saints and I can be the number one tight end for a Hall of Fame quarterback in Drew Brees. I know that's my option. If I go to New England, there's still an opportunity that Rob Gronkowski could return. So that hurt Bill Belichick, and that hurt the Patriots organizationally in terms of their ability to recruit a guy like Jared Cook, because one of the things that he was looking for was that guarantee to be a starting tight end with the team that he was going to sign with. So if you just think about those two things, Gronk continues to tease the fan base about coming back, especially watching that crap the other night. I mean, that builds up perfectly to his brand. It keeps him relevant because the tight end position sucks so bad. So he's teasing you guys as fans right now. And the other thing is, he hurt the organization and their ability this offseason to go after a guy like Jared Cook. So Gronk, to me, is really irritating right now. Now, I love what the guy did for the Patriots and all that. He was an all-time great player for the Patriots, arguably the best tight end in the history of the sport. But this stuff, I can't get on board with this. It's irritating to me. 617-779-7937 is the number. Let's get to Dick in Milford. What's going on, Dick?
Yeah, well, if I was the Patriots, I'd bring AB back, but with a couple restrictions.
All right, let's get these restrictions.
I'll give you your $9 million right now. $5 million of it goes to your five kids and two women that are their mothers. We set them up first. $2 million I'll give to you. But
so wait, hold on, Dick. Dick, in these restrictions, so are you cutting the check to the two women that have his children?
We're dividing it up among his five children and okay, the two mothers of his children.
All right.
I have attorneys do it so that they're set up.
Okay.
$2 million I'll give to AB, provided he pays back everybody he stiffed, every person in business, with a letter of apology. The other $2 million will hold an escrow, and if he's a good boy for the rest of the season, we'll release it to him at the end of the season.
Okay, Dick, so let me ask you a question then with these restrictions. If you're Antonio Brown and the NFL comes out and they says, hey, they're not going to put him on the exempt list, so there's no real risk of signing Antonio Brown in terms of he's going to be able to play for an NFL
team.
Then
he can go to anybody. He doesn't need us.
Right. Why would he do that with these restrictions?
Well, with these restrictions, we can go to the NFL and say, give him a clean bill of health. From this day forward, we'll judge him. I can get him because the NFL would like this, because we're helping the kids, we're helping everybody, including AB. And I think I'd put another one in there. You got to go to counseling.
A lot of rules. I appreciate the phone call, Dick. Those are really big restrictions. So we're cutting check to the two women that have kids with Antonio Brown, and then we're having him sign all these apologies, paying all these other people off. And then the Cowboys and the Seahawks call and say, hey, Antonio Brown, you want to come play for us? No restrictions. I mean, I just don't see what the appeal would be for Antonio Brown in that particular scenario. I still don't see it happening. I really don't. I mean, Robert Kraft would have to do two things, as I mentioned briefly earlier. First of all, he would have to acknowledge the fact that he messed up the first time he got rid of him. And I'm not saying Robert Kraft was wrong for cutting him, but I'm saying that's what Robert Kraft would do. He would be admitting that he was wrong cutting him the first time if he brought him back on the football team, because he cut him after he sent those text messages and he was poor shaming the woman that accused him of sexual misconduct. So Robert Kraft would have to say, hey, I was wrong to cut you that time. And he would have to forgive him for essentially putting it out there on social media, saying essentially that Robert Kraft talking about him at the parlor and him in Florida over the summer. So you think Robert Kraft's going to do those two things? I just don't see it happening. Let's get to Tim. He's in Maine tonight. What's going on, Tim?
Hey, yeah. I mean, I agree with you. A.J. Green and Antonio Brown on an even scale.
AJ Green every day, all day. He's a better person. He's a better player probably in that offense. But I would say this, given where we are today and where we are with the salary cap and given what we already have committed to Antonio Brown, at this point, I think, you know, Brady and Kraft is a soft spot there. I think Brady has shown an affinity.
Oh, Brady loves
Antonio Brown. Right. So I think you've got to look at save the draft pick. If you can make it work with Antonio Brown and just have him drop the grievance, bring him back on a minimum deal, don't contest the money anymore. You save the draft pick. You save the salary cap room you just created with Ben Watson to bring in somebody else. Maybe it's Gronk down the road. Maybe it's not. But it makes your team better overall. If you can make AB work, that's not a guarantee. But then again, AJ Green's not a guarantee because of the foot injury and the ankle injuries that he's dealt with over the years. So that's a big if, too.
Yeah, fair enough. Tim, are you on a motorcycle?
No, I'm in the car.
Oh, I got you. All right, hey, man, appreciate the phone call. You can grab his line if you'd like. It's 617-779-7937. Sounded like a motorcycle. But here's the whole thing about that. I understand where Tim's coming from. From a financial standpoint, from a salary cap standpoint, you would much rather have Antonio Brown. But it's the owner's decision, and I just don't see any way, shape, or form that Robert Kraft is going to bring this guy back on the football team. Ideally, from a salary cap perspective, and what Bill Belichick wants to do, and we know Tom Brady wants Antonio Brown on the team, Tom Brady literally likes everything that Antonio Brown puts on Instagram. Clearly, the player wants it back. He talked about having a personal relationship with Antonio Brown, and that's part of the reason that I believe the Prince of Positivity has been so negative over the past couple of weeks is because he really wanted Antonio Brown. He had the guy over his house. He had the guy working out at the TB12 Center. So that's part of the reason I believe that Tom Brady has been so pouty. But remember, it's not Tom Brady's decision. Just like it wasn't Bill Belichick's decision to get rid of Antonio Brown. This is Robert Kraft's decision. I don't see him going out there and saying, yeah, no big deal, water under the bridge, Antonio, we'll bring you back. And again, the other question I would pose to you is, where's the guarantee that Antonio Brown's not going to do something stupid again? How dumb would that make Robert Kraft look if he brought him back after what he just did last time he's with the Patriots, texting this woman, he does something dumb again and the Patriots have to cut him again? How bad would that look for Robert Kraft? He had to cut the guy twice then? I mean, think about that. He would look like a complete buffoon if he did that. 617-779-7937 is a number. Let's get to Steve. He's in a car. What's up, Steve?
What's up, Brian? Yeah, definitely have to stop being realistic. With Brady, yeah, it's definitely aggravating ways to say, but he got his point across. Needs help. Because if they had to field a team tomorrow with what they have, there is no doubt it will probably be the worst offensive team of skill position pick put together at any point in Brady's career.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, you can go back to what, like 2006-ish when Rashay Caldwell was the number one receiver. I would probably say that was worse, but this group's not much better. And part of it is Josh Gordon has just been a complete disappointment this season. That's the reality of the situation. He's been a massive disappointment. But you look back at some of those teams before 07, remember, because in 07, that's when Belichick said, okay, we need to upgrade at receiver. They got one of the greatest receivers ever in Randy Moss for like a fourth-round draft pick, and then they got Wes Welker, who the Dolphins didn't properly value, and the rest is history with that 07 team. But nonetheless, right before that, like after the 04 Super Bowl, remember, the weapons started to disintegrate, if you will, and in 06, the number one receiver on the Patriots was Rashay Caldwell, and that guy was horrible. Let's get to Mike. He's in a car. What's up, Mike?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Listen, you're right on with AJ Green. I give a first-round pick and a third-round pick. The free agent next year, you get a compensatory pick if he leaves. But, you know, you get AJ Green, then you put N'Keal Harry out there, and, you know, you get some good wide receivers there. What would you think of moving Josh Gordon to tight end? He's 245 pounds.
Yeah, I think he's too soft, Mike.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he's been disappointing this year. I think he's got a hamstring injury, but I think he'd be an upgrade
something
knee.
Yeah, that was ugly the night, and I appreciate the phone call, Mike. Something with the knee the other night. He was already dealing with the banged-up knee. That was a weird play. By the way, did you guys hear that Shannon Sharp blamed Tom Brady for Josh Gordon getting injured the other night? He said, who took the sack? Tom Brady. So he actually, on his national show on Fox Sports 1, blamed Tom Brady for Josh Gordon getting hurt the other night. I could understand this if it was like he threw a ball high to Josh Gordon, like that he didn't need to throw high and defensive back hit him, like he laid him out, like, you know what I mean, like he put it in the middle of the field in a dangerous spot and Josh Gordon took a bad hit. I could understand blaming the quarterback for that, but blaming the quarterback for Josh Gordon trying to make a play after the sack fumble, if you will, I mean, that was just an atrocious take by Shannon Sharp. Like, we all know that he's a Brady hater, just like Max Kellerman is, but that was absolutely ridiculous. I mean, that was a buffoon-like statement. that he made the other night. Just dumb. I couldn't believe it. I mean, he really actually said that. He blamed Tom Brady for that the other night. By the way, he also gave Tom Brady an F in his performance the other night. Now, I would not give Brady an F for the game. I'd give maybe like a B-minus considering what he's working with. The interception was awful, but he did have 31 completions in that game. But I would give him an F for his post-game press conference. I mean, really, come on. Can you be any more negative about what's going on with the team right now? It's unbelievable. All right, if you want to join us, the number 617-779-7937. Do you think the Patriots should trade for A.J. Green? Also, one thing that would really concern me about N'Keal Harry when he comes back into the Patriots lineup, I'll touch on that in just a little bit. You're listening to Brian Barrett on WEI.
Back to WEI at night on Sports Radio WEI.
But let me tell you something about Julian. First off, he calls himself the squirrel. You want to know why he calls himself the squirrel? Because he is a squirrel. He's furry. He's furry. He's cute. He's elusive. He's feisty. And most importantly, whenever he gets a chance, he gets that nut. Just like he gets a first down. Just like he gets the touchdown. Just like he'll give you a catch when you need it.
Yeah. Yeah. What? Oh, WWF. I'm ready to play. Put us in, coach.
Let's go, baby.
You want to come back?
No.
No, you wouldn't have lasted long. All right, thank you for that, Rob.
I don't know. Maybe I'm immature, but I find him funny. I really do. The sophomoric humor, I find him funny. He's like a character, man. Like, all these other guys are real analysts out there. Tony Gonzalez, Michael Strahan, Terry Bradshaw's a little wacky. But nonetheless, when you look at Rob Gronkowski, I mean, he's just out there, man. What a performance the other night. I felt like it was a WWE promo. I didn't feel like that was him giving any analysis on the games. The only thing he gave an analysis on was essentially George Kittle. He said George Kittle, essentially, I'm paraphrasing, he said George Kittle is good because he reminds him of himself. That's basically why he likes George Kittle. The number is 617-779-7937. By the way, Robert Kraft saying that Gronk hasn't filed his retirement papers and that's an academic argument for Gronk coming back. I really believe that Robert Kraft wants to recruit Gronk to get him back to basically appease Brady and Belichick, because Brady and Belichick, both those guys wanted Antonio Brown on the team, and Robert Kraft decided to move on from the player. Okay, that was Robert Kraft's decision, not Brady or Belichick. So now Robert Kraft's in this weird position where both Brady and Belichick are upset with the situation, right? Usually he's mending fences, right? He's the guy that is cooling down each party, right? The contract negotiations, etc. This time he's got Brady mad at him, and he's got Belichick mad at him for getting rid of Antonio Brown. So if he can get Gronk, that'll be like the savior, and Robert Kraft can get like this pat on the back. But if you are looking to hype up the Gronk brand, Gronk right now, I mean, he's in the perfect scenario to come back because he would be, like, ultimately the savior. This is working out real good for Gronk. Like, some guys leave the Patriots and it's like, not that big of a deal. For example, and I'm not comparing the two players' careers, so don't get me wrong, but has anybody noticed that Trey Flowers isn't on the Patriots anymore? Nobody notices because the defense is that damn good. Okay, we've seen it in the past when they let guys go, right? Lawyer Malloy, didn't matter. All these guys in the past, they let go. It doesn't matter. The Patriots still are the Patriots. But without Gronk, there's that massive hole that he's left behind. He's one of the only Patriots players we can point to and say it's definitely affected the team. Even if you think about Matt Light retires, you go to a guy like Nate Solder. Nate Solder leaves, he sucks in New York, you get a guy like Trent Brown. Normally, that doesn't happen with Patriots in terms of you're really missing this player right now. By the way, N'Keal Harry, who is going to make his debut in a couple of weeks, three reasons to doubt him, or two reasons to doubt that this player is going to live up to the hype that everybody, because it feels like we got a lot of calls today saying, hey, wait till N'Keal Harry comes back. He's going to contribute. The one reason is Brady has never been great with rookie wide receivers. Now, he tried to make Kembrell Tompkins work and Aaron Dobson work. They just weren't very good. Malcolm Mitchell's like the one rookie receiver, right? Malcolm Mitchell, if you think back in the day, in 2016, performed at a high level, but then he dealt with the injury. And then the other thing I would point to is Bill drafting at that position has not been great. You look at the recent history of receivers that Bill Belichick has drafted. Braxton Berrios, oh yeah, he was cut. Malcolm Mitchell, he worked out, but then he got hurt. So really got 1 year out of production of that guy. Aaron Dobson sucked. Josh Boyce, remember they drafted him out of TCU? He sucked. Taylor Price, yeah, who's he? Brandon Tate sucked. And probably the worst one of all, or the two worst ones, Chad Jackson and Bethel Johnson. So if you think about it, the way that Bill has built up this receiving core is he's gone out on the open market and he's got more value out of players that other teams don't value. The Wes Welkers, the Danny Amendolas of the world. He hit on Edelman, he hit on Branch. But other than that, it hasn't been really, really big hits for Belichick at the receiver position. It's one of his blind spots in the draft. He is good at going out there and getting other people's guys. Like Brandon LaFell came here and is a really good contributor, right? And nobody really thought LaFell was much of a player before that. So that's how Bill is able to put together his receiving core, not through the draft. So first of all, Bill's not good at drafting receivers. And secondarily, Brady and rookie wide receivers, really, they don't usually mesh. Not to mention, we heard Brady say, what, 2 weeks ago, that it takes a lot to pick up the playbook. It takes a lot for the young guys to do that. Let's get to Billy's in Manchester. What's up, Bill?
I was going to say real quick about Gronkowski. You know, I watched him the other night, too. And of all the guys on that stage, you know, the Fox News, who think they're actual, you know, broadcasters,
yeah.
Why doesn't anybody ever ask Gronk, do you, watching this offense, do you think maybe you hurt the team by holding them hostage so long with your retirement decision?
Well, Bill, I completely, you know, that's a fair question, but they're not going to do that on Fox, who he just signed a contract with. I mean, Fox isn't going to set him up like that. Now, that's a question I'd like to know. You realize by you waiting so long to retire, Jared Cook's not a member of the Patriots. And I'm not saying it was a lock guarantee, but the Saints had an advantage over the Patriots recruiting Jared Cook because of the fact that Jared Cook wanted to make sure that he was the number one tight end, and Gronk took until March 22nd to announce his retirement. Let's get to Gary in Austin. What's up, Gary?
By the way, I completely agree with your comment on Gronk. He was hilarious. My thing about the Antonio Brown situation is the guy just is so self-promoting. You didn't realize when he went to the Raiders, he flew in on a hot air balloon for his first practice. That's just not the Patriots.
And he couldn't play, Gary. He couldn't play, and he flew in on a hot air balloon. Remember, he had his feet were burnt.
He flew in to watch. But, you know, A.J. Green is exactly the kind of guy the Patriots love. He plays hard no matter what. He's a prototypical Patriot, and he can play. So he's the one to go for. But what about Cameron Brate in Tampa? I've mentioned this on a couple other shows.
The tight end?
He's the second tight end not even getting the ball, and Jameis Winston will never find him, no matter how open he is. But Tom would love him, and he would be the great outlet guy and that third or fourth guy on a check down. And, you know, and he's a quarterback.
Yeah, Gary, I wouldn't mind him, but I feel like if that's the move you're making, you're not doing enough. I mean, Cameron Brate's a pretty good player, but I think what the Patriots need right now is a massive upgrade, a game changer at the receiver position. That's why the guy that I would go after is A.J. Green. And the other thing that Fox mixed out on, before I go, the other thing that Fox really missed out on the other night, the big thing that they need is to ask Gronk is, why does the offense suck right now? And not in that terminology, because they're on network television. But, hey, Gronk, they've only scored 21 points in the first half. The offense hasn't been that great. What do you think's going on with Josh McDaniels, Tom Brady, and the group that you just left? I mean, that's a real simple thing to tee him up for. What's wrong with the offense? This is a guy that played for the Patriots for 9 years. He knows what Tom Brady's trying to do. He actually has a unique perspective that nobody else as an analyst has, and you didn't ask him what's wrong with the Patriots offense. Bad job by Fox when it comes to that. All right, thanks to Drew Johnson for producing. Thanks to Max for helping out. Have a great night, everybody. We'll send you off to baseball, Yankees and Astros, game 1 of the ALCS coming up. Wish the Red Sox were in it, but they're not. Have a great night, everybody. Be safe and be well.